Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hey, I'm Gracie.
I'm Liam.
And we're from Joan and the Giants from Perth, Western Australia.
How do I pronounce Borloo?
Oh, Borloo.
Is it Borloo?
Borloo.
I got it right.
Yep. Yeah, well
incredible.
Done. Yes.
So, you've toured with really big people like that Pink, like that Belinda Carlisle. What are you amazed that so far in doing this, either no one has asked you or what do you wish someone would ask?
Maybe like about interpersonal relationships between band members and stuff. That's an interesting one because there's a lot of context to that question. But like about, you know, I guess a lot of people ask like, how did you meet and stuff? But no one really goes into like the tea.
No one asks, how is Joan the Giants?
How are you really? Like, what's really going on in your lives? Are you okay mentally? Yeah.
So did you all meet at university?
No, we didn't. We have a very interesting... Well, I actually met the initial guitarist of Joan the Giants, who was in it until a couple of months ago, because he... it's a long story there, but yeah. We were together for a long time.
It happens in bands, by the way.
Yeah. It does happen. Look,
in Spinal Tap, the drummer combusts all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything can happen.
Anything can happen. He was my ex-boyfriend. So we were together for 9 and a bit years. And we met when we were 17, and he's from like an Indigenous community in the top of Western Australia, and he was at college, and I met him through a friend who forced us to play a song together, and then we just started writing music together, and then a few years later we met our drummer, and then Liam over here applied to be in the band through Bandmix, which is quite an interesting website where
it was
musicians...
an ad they forgot to delete.
Yeah.
And I thought they were still looking for a bass player.
Yeah.
But they... Yeah.
But, okay, so wait a minute. So it really was more like Sonny and Cher originally. It was originally a duo?
Yeah. Yeah,
you and the partner.
Yeah. Yeah, originally, yeah.
And when did you know it was going to become a band?
Well, we really wanted to always be a band. So we started out just writing songs together, but the whole time we were like, we need to find a drummer and a bassist that will be... our people. And then like when we did, we were so lucky because it's been the four of us as like a family kind of ever since, until the breakup.
Yeah.
That's what I mean about interpersonal relationships.
So was it the boyfriend that you met at uni?
Well, he was at uni. I was just crashing on my friend's floor because I'm from a farm and I had to have somewhere to stay in Perth. So I just crashed on a floor.
Got it.
Yeah. So I met him through her and she was at uni with him at college. Yes.
Where does Ed Sheeran come into this whole thing?
Oh, that's so funny. That was the first song that me and my ex played together, was an Ed Sheeran song. And it was really awkward because he had an electric guitar unplugged. So it didn't really make... It was just like, you know the sound of an electric guitar? Just twang. Yeah. And so I awkwardly... We didn't even talk. We just played an Ed Sheeran song. And then I like moonwalked out of the room. It was really awkward. And then I just kept bumping into him and then fell madly and deeply in love. Which
until,
was a terrible mistake.
Until... Well... Where did it actually become this?
It became this in 2019.
Yeah, that's what I have here. Yes. So that's a long time.
Yeah, 7 years we've been
together. That's a lot of paying your dues.
It's a lot of, we've done literally hundreds and hundreds of shows together. We've slogged it and we've gotten, like, we've started out pretty, like, we were one of those bands who didn't start out good. Like, we had to actually really work on becoming better songwriters, becoming better musicians, like, because, you know, we're not really trained. We had to really... learn how to craft this skill. So we weren't one of those bands that starts out and they're killer and their single, like their first single just takes them off or whatever. It took us like
a
long
runs.
Time.
Number one, of course, COVID comes right smacking in.
That was a real pain in the butt, yeah.
And that comes right smacking in because if you were really starting to have it happen in 2019, it suddenly all gets put on hold.
Yeah.
So during that time, was that just a lot of songwriting and Zooms and
all
of that?
It was a real tricky... Well, actually, we were in
one... We
got
pretty lucky.
Yeah, we were in one of the most like fortunate places in the world in Western Australia, because Australia, I don't know if you know, but everyone pretty much locked down. Western Australia shut its borders.
Right. Western Australia was just like an island state.
Yeah, we were like, don't come in here. No one gets out. No one comes in. So we were kind of just locked down.
So did you get it or did you not?
Yeah, we all got COVID, yeah.
Yeah. Despite all this wonderful lockdown stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually, looking back on it, it feels like a very truly strange and bizarre, alienating time to be alive.
So you come out of that, and then was that the time that you really feel like you got good, as you like to say it?
Well, we definitely put our heads down and wrote a lot. Like me and my ex and the ex guitarist Aaron, we lived together, so we would just sit and write all like a lot. We wrote so much music in that time. We used to do these things called cozy gown sessions, where we do like live videos and wear our dressing gowns and, you know, get people's suggestions for songs they love and put on little concerts in our house and stuff. So you were really active
during that time.
Yeah, we were. And we also rehearsed a lot and we went on tour a lot as a band in that time in Western Australia.
But what is this version of the band? Has there been a lot of change or is it...
I think we're still figuring it out as we go.
We're still... It's very fresh. It only happened like a couple of months ago that we made the call to part ways.
But the music that's out now,
yeah,
that's from the old.
Yeah, that's from, well, actually a lot of that music I wrote like the songs, but a lot of it's also written with the ex-guitarist and also with our producer and as a band. So it's definitely from a different time. So I'm really looking forward to also a new chapter as well. The next kind of stage of our songwriting.
So you say boyfriend, but the word queer comes up. Mm. Literally, the article I was reading this morning, and this, in some ways, this drives me crazy because it's like queer singer, songwriter, blah, 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 blah of. So this is your opportunity to not have a word in a sentence.
Sure. Let me explain my thoughts on it. I'll give you some context to that. I think it's a really powerful word for me because it took me a very long time to kind of have autonomy over who I am. I was raised in a very intense Christian family on a farm and basically was taught that being queer is a sentence to hell and it's a sentence to death. And so it took me a really, really long time to feel empowered by who I am and feel comfortable with being queer, because I knew my whole life I was also interested in women. I'm a bisexual woman and I had to push that down forever. I also went to boarding school and it was quite homophobic at times, and so it took me actually just getting into music, and it took me till I was 22 to be like, oh, I actually am really very much a bisexual and this is part of who I am. And a lot of my friends at the time were also queer and they really empowered me to be like, this is actually not a problem. You're not going to go to hell. This is a really beautiful part of who you are. And then, you know, even coming out, it was a really painful and hard time of my life. But it was also something that now I'm like incredibly okay with and proud of and happy with. And so when I say that word, I don't say it lightly. Like it's taken a long time to get there.
Because it informs people about you and even the music and the things you're writing about.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you asked that question. I feel like a lot of language in music bios, it can be very tokenistic. And it was the same when Aaron, my ex-boyfriend and the ex-guitarist, who I still have a lot of respect for, he is an Indigenous man in Australia. Like it's, and I imagine over here, like people just very quickly used the word like Indigenous the same way as queer.
Exactly. Like, no, I understand that. What is the filter for a Joan and the Giants song? How do you know that it's a song for this band?
I'm coming from like a lyricism standpoint of just like emotion. Very like, just personal, deep personal emotion.
You're the centerpiece of the band, right? But you have toured with all these big people. You really have, you know, you've done pretty well. How much do you bring into the studio? How prepared are you? How far do you take demos?
We always have been very big on demos and getting the songs prepped beforehand. At the same time, every song is kind of a different journey, because there's some songs where we've gone into the studio and written a song in the studio, like with the like me, Aaron, and the producer. Other times we've completely crafted a song, like the latest single, Still Breathing, we wrote in the room together as a band and had it completely finished before going to the studio, and like the demos are there, the song's there. So it kind of just depends on the song and the magic of each song, you know. It's all different.
When did you realize that you could write a song, that you could write a hook, that you could write choruses? When did you actually, and sometimes people go, I still don't know, but when did you realize that you could write hooks, that you could write things that people like me would hear and go, okay?
That's a really good question. I think I sing more than I talk. And my entire life, even growing up on the farm, I'd be out in the paddocks with the cows, farm girl. And I would just be always just singing tags and hooks and making up songs my entire life. But I didn't really take it seriously until after high school, when I was like, I want to really write music and write songs. And then I would just kind of take what I've done my whole life and just sit with it and actually kind of craft it a bit more.
Grace can just do it on the spot as well. It's pretty nuts when you see it in a jam session. Like, you'll play a chord progression, she just starts singing from start to finish over the entire song. It's pretty,
thanks, doll.
It's pretty cool. I've never had to write a single word in my life working with Grace, because she's just very good at it.
Oh, thanks, darling.
Let's talk business, because it takes a team to arrange for you to play and open for Pink, and, you know, to do.
We
all
have
these
a damn
things.
Good manager.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how does that come to be? How did that?
This is a cool story. So my auntie is a wild, wild woman, and she just loves a party. And she was at, I think she crashed Mitch's birthday party in Perth, because Mitch is our manager. And she was having a birthday party with some friends. She's over from Melbourne. My auntie crashes the birthday party. My auntie has a few drinks with Mitch and then starts playing our music, just being like, you got to listen to my niece. This is her music. Mitch is telling her about her amazing life in the music industry. So my auntie was kind of connecting the dots. And then my auntie calls me and she's like, Grace, get on the phone right now. Like, you don't realize who I've just met. You got to send her like all your songs and do it right now. So I literally just that second did up a package, emailed it to Mitch. The next day, Mitch called me. We had a chat. She was so wonderful.
Mitch is an interesting name for a woman, by the way.
I do. It's very interesting. And she's had a very incredible, she was the first female vice president of EMI Records in London back in the day.
So she's the real deal.
She's the real deal. She's worked with some of the most incredible artists of this time. Prince, Queen, Beyonce, Tina Turner. She's worked with everyone. It's wild. And so she had a big break from the music industry and she was done with it. And then she says that we brought her back to life, because she was like, you know what? I want to get back into the music. And then it took us a few months of just getting to know her. And then she was like, you know what? I'm going to manage you guys. And we've been a family ever since. It's been great.
Yeah. I'll never forget the first time. I think, I don't know if it was the first time you met Mitch, but when we were back in that Italian restaurant in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Just pure chaos. And she had a dog in the restaurant.
Oh, she's a wild woman. But she's just, I love her because she's just so authentically her, and she just has this, she's just a gun. I get quite nervous of sharing our music and telling people to come to shows and stuff, but she's out there just telling every single person that'll listen to come to a show, and it's incredible. She's a hustler.
Yeah, she gets on the street with the flyers.
Goes up to
you,
anyone.
You look important.
It's so good.
So this thing that we're sitting at, is this your first time playing in the US?
Yeah, this is our first ever international show ever. Well, I was really scared because I booked everything. So I booked the flights, I sorted the visas, I booked the accommodation. I was scared that the accommodation was a scam, so we wouldn't have anywhere to stay.
It does exist.
It does exist. We've made it. We're here.
Wait, did you air just Airbnb?
I did, but I've had some interesting Airbnb experiences before, so I was worried. And especially being in a new country, I was like, hopefully this is all real. Yep. And it all has worked out.
We all rocked up and you're like, oh, thank God it exists.
Yeah, I know. Thank God we got on the flight. We're all here.
So when you were told you were going to become an official artist, were you just like, oh.
I lost it. Because I did the application for South By and I was like, oh, we probably won't get into this. Like, we're, you know, an Australian band. Who knows? Who knows what could happen? But when we got the email, it was like, I just remember like, I was with my housemates and I was screaming and they thought something terrible would happen. And I was like, no, it's good. It's good. And yeah, so this is our first ever international experience and it's been the time of our lives. We've had the best time ever.
But so you've never been anywhere else in the US?
When I was younger, I made a film in high school and it got in a film festival over here called Nifty.
Okay.
And I came over to Seattle for that when I was younger.
To Seattle. Yeah. Interesting.
I was 17.
But the only places you've been in the US are Seattle and Austin.
And New York. I went to New York because I had to go, because it's my absolute dream place.
Do you have the people up front that are singing along and know the songs?
You know, this was like, we do in Australia. We have people that now.
Oh, I'm sure in Australia, I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here, we've had a few people come to the shows that know the songs. And that's been wild. Even if it's like 2 or 3 people, I'm like, how do you know who we are?
Yeah,
right.
It's
right.
Crazy. Mm. Yeah.
But how is it? I mean, how have the shows been? Has it been exactly what you wanted it to be?
Yeah.
It's been more.
It's been more than what we thought it would be. We thought, because obviously being a fairly new and band from Australia, a lot of people don't know us over here, meeting hardly anyone. And I thought we might even have only a couple people at the showcases, but they've been pretty full so far.
Yeah, they've been packed
out. So it's been really great.
And then you go back to Australia and then?
And then we're back to, this is a crazy schedule.
Oh, yeah.
We're leaving on Tuesday, getting to Australia Thursday, recovering from jet lag, then supporting Lake Street Dive on Friday, which will be wild. Mm. So it's pretty hectic when we get back. And then we're moving to Melbourne in May.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're moved. We just got to move.
You kind of have to be in that.
Yeah, we have to be on the East Coast.
We just need a change. Like, this breakup actually really nearly killed me last year. It was so horrific and so painful after 9.5 years with someone. And so I just need to go to a new city, new venues, new environment, keep pushing the band forward. It's kind of the right place to go.
Proximity to our team as well, because they're all in Melbourne.
Yeah.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then you get to pick a bunch of songs by other artists in between.